Pastor Brody. When preparing for this sermon and knowing what the kids were going to be doing in their children's program, it kind of took me back to whenever, I guess I was in high school, when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out, and we'd gather around usually either the dinner table or a lot of times the dinner couch and watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and it was always fun to try to guess and play along and stuff as they played. And the episodes that I remember the most were the ones where the contestant would get it wrong. Well, not just get a question wrong, but get the first question wrong. Maybe you've seen one of those clips on YouTube or something like that where they just confidently just know what the answer is, and they're like, here it is, final answer. And it's just really awkward, and there's like this tense silence, and you're like, oh my gosh. And she thinks it's going to be right, and it's completely and utterly wrong. It's kind of embarrassing to watch. We've been in this Christmas series called Great Expectations, where we've been asking the question, what are you expecting? And my prayer this morning is you don't get that question wrong in your life. We've talked about hope, we talked about joy, and we talked about peace. And this morning, what I want to do is just take a few minutes. It's a shortened sermon to account for the kids doing their program, and share with you about love, more precisely, God's love. Expecting God's love. Everybody knows love, right? Yeah? You've probably been in love. Maybe you've fallen in love. Maybe you've fallen out of love. Perhaps you love someone that didn't love you back. You've probably told someone that you love them. Hopefully someone has told you that they love you too. If you haven't, just see me immediately following and I'll fulfill that dream of yours. You go to the movies to watch stories about love. You sit on your couch and you read tales of love. You listen to songs about unrequited love and forbidden love and love that lasts forever. Our society, our world even, is full of love and stories of love. Why? Because there is something about love that springs forth life. It revitalizes and renews. Love gives people hope, passion, joy, direction. Maybe you've heard this before, and if you've got an outline, you can follow along. There are three types. There are three types of love. Eros, Philos, and Agape, and they're listed there. Eros is, in the Greek language, there are three types of love. Eros, Philos, and Agape. And Eros is the physical love and sexual desire, and there's the most common use term in that day. And then there's the Philos, which is esteem and brotherly love, used to describe what someone would have in a casual friendship with one another. And then there's agape love, which is what's used here in 1 John chapter 4. And agape love is a deliberate choice of the one who loves rather than the worthiness of the one who receives that love. And this morning, I want to focus on this agape love, God's love. And I ask you this question, are you expecting God's love? Because God's love is true love, and true love changes everything. True love changes everything. So there's three truths about God's true love. Let's read through 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, say this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So the first thing, God is love. True love only comes from God. True love only comes from God. Love is the foundational and just rudimentary core of who God is. Love comes from God. In fact, the only reason that we can even know true love is because God is love. The term that he uses here for love, agape, was rarely used at this time. It denoted a willingness to love, not just an emotional attachment. It was a self-sacrificial love, something that humans aren't very good at, but God is. You know, and I know it's hard to love. Believe me, I've had a tough time loving certain people in my life. Some people are easy to love, some people are hard to love. Would you agree? No, don't point at anybody. The beauty of this is that we serve a God that is love. We serve a God who is love. Think about that. It means that the absolute hardest person to love in your life is still lovable because God is love and the power of God to love them is in you. If you know God, you know love. But with no God, there is no love. God is love. Second thing, verses 9 through 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. So the second thing is this, is that God loved us first. True love points people to Jesus. True love points people to Jesus. I mean, this is the story of Christmas. Maybe you were wondering and trying to figure out how all this love talk ties in with the Christmas theme. I mean, should we be talking about wise men and Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds and cows and things like that? However, love, this is the reason that we celebrate this time of year. This love, God loving us first, is what Christmas is all about. God's gift to us, his one and only Son, Jesus. But why did he send him? Why did God send Jesus? It tells us in verse 9, so that we might live through him. It doesn't say live against Jesus. It doesn't say turn our backs on Jesus. It says to live through Jesus. We didn't deserve this love, and we still don't. We didn't earn this love. We never will. God loved us and showed us his love by sending Jesus. He was pointing us towards Jesus because he is the only way, Jesus is the only way that we can experience true love. Believing that Jesus paid the price for our sins through his sacrifice on the cross. One of the hardest things to do when choosing to love someone is taking the first step. I mean, wouldn't you agree it's much easier to respond to someone else loving you and then you return your love? Yes? Okay. I mean, we fear of it not being returned. Fear of rejection, fear of whatever else. Just remember this. God loves you first. Knowing that some people would reject him, God loves you first. Knowing that people would reject his Son, Jesus, God loved you first. Knowing the ultimate cost that Jesus would have to pay, God loves you first. He loved us anyway, he sent his Son. Sometimes you're going to have to take the first step in love. And it won't always be easy. It might not be fun, but you do it and because you know that it points people to Jesus. True love points people to Jesus. God loved us first. Third thing is this. Verses 11 through 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Number three, love one another. True love reflects the character of God. True love reflects the character of God. Have you ever looked in a mirror? Judging by some of your hairstyles this morning, not very often. I'm just kidding. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. You see a reflection, right? This verse shows us that when you love others, you resemble the reflection of God. Why? Because God is love. And when you show other people love, you are displaying the core characteristic of who God is. You are reflecting God to other people. Not only that, when you show love to others, you're getting to know God. Because God is love. It's who He is. And we can't do something without it becoming a part of us. So when you love others, you grow in God. You get to know God. And notice in the last verse there, in verse 12, it says, His love is made complete in us. So when we love one another, we are made complete. I don't know about you, but I want to be complete. I want to be full, not just in my stomach. I want to be full in my heart. I want to be finished, not just on the outside, but on the inside too. And I know that I can't do that without loving others. In fact, it's impossible to know God intimately without loving others personally. Because God is love. So love one another. So this morning I want to ask you this question. Who in your life do you need to love? Who have you failed to love because it's tough? Or out of fear that they might not love you back? And most importantly, are you expecting God's love? Because God's love can heal, it can mend, and it can redirect like nothing else can. And it is only with the true love of God that you can reflect the character of God and point other people to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you are love. How we praise you that because you loved us first, that we can love. And God, we celebrate the fact that when we love others, we are reflecting you because you are love. God, may this Christmas season, may our entire year be full of love and loving one another because we want to be more like you. We want to reflect you. We want to know you more. God, help us to love. We're expecting your love. Help us to love one another in return. And that's our prayer this morning. We love you. We praise you. And we just celebrate and ask all these things in the name of Jesus.